Good evening. Welcome to an episode of the Hot Tag Podcast. It's been a couple of weeks, but got the band back together. Got Matt Vondre and Carrie Angie. Good evening, Carrie and Matt. How are you guys?
Great.
Well, I tell you, since the Packers lost, I got an extra, beat in my step here. I'm feeling good.
It snowed here in Wisconsin about a couple of inches, and walking outside this morning, I know it was cold, but I didn't feel it because the chill in the air was gone. The frozen tundra had dissipated.
Yep.
For those who live in Wisconsin, if you're not a Packer fan and you live in Wisconsin, it is hell on earth.
It's great to see. It really is.
Now, we need to talk about, first and foremost, the John Moxley promo. Now, I'm going to kind of set the stage. He made his triumphant return back to AEW on Dynamite with a very heartfelt personal promo. As a son of me, my personal son, the son of an alcoholic, that was the kind of promo, a kind of speech that I would have wanted my dad to ultimately say. But it resonated, and the more I thought back at it, it resonated more. I took it out of the wrestling context, Matt. How did you take that promo?
I didn't have the same, upbringing as you, but I felt it though. Like it was genuine. It was nice. And yet he still made it a wrestling promo. It was beautiful. He did a great job with it. Anyone that struggled with any type of addiction or anything, I think they probably really, felt that. It was just a great, genuine promo. It's going to be a tough one to top for promo of the year, honestly, just for the simple fact it was real. It was excellent to listen to. I applaud him for doing it too, because he didn't have to. He could have just made a return but he went out there. He's owned it, and by the way, looks great. So good for him. I was actually moved by a wrestling promo. It was awesome.
Carrie, upon first viewing of it, I had to take it as a member of the wrestling media, which the three of us are, but after watching it a couple of times and kind of just focusing on the context and the actual words, it hits home. It resonated personally. Now, Carrie, what did you think of it upon the first time that we watched it?
I mean, I was in tears almost. I mean, I'm an emotional wrestling fan, and I mean, that hit me big time. I mean, my stepdad was an alcoholic, So it's like, I think we can all kind of identify with, talking about the scars we all bear and talking about, he kicks his demon's ass. And I mean, it's stuff that I think after the last few years, I think a lot of us needed to hear it. We needed to hear something like that. We needed a bump like that, because it's been tough. So, I mean, for him to, guys, how many wrestlers wish that they could have had it like done it the way he's done it, instead of going through it for years and years and years. And he got a chance to change and to fix it. I mean, how many stories have we talked about on here? Just the sad stories of wrestlers not being able to get clean, And I mean, he looked great. He's Mox. I mean, you see what you get type of guy, So, I mean, I really thought it was, it's going to be real hard to top as promo of the year. It was really, really great.
He de-aged, Matt. He looked much younger. He looked happier. He was in a good place. Now, with every good thing that happens in wrestling, the antithesis always seems to rise. Bully Ray, Bubba Ray Dudley, whatever you want to call him, ne'er-do-well host, decided to try to take the air out of the sails. Just in general, why? Why is Bully Ray such, I hate using this term because I'm 47, a hater?
I mean, he's somewhat disgraced in the wrestling industry. He's basically gotten himself kicked out of a number of promotions, and he's not going to be welcomed back. because of some of that. He's just one of those guys. He's got a popular podcast. Between him and Disco Inferno, though, like, I feel like they just want to go and complain for the sake of complaining and having people listen to it. He's annoying, though, at this point. I mean, I don't get into that type of stuff. I know we can be negative at times on here, but I mean, it's just constant negativity. Nothing was as good as anything he's ever done, and he just. In this situation, he just leave it alone. Like, there's nothing he needed to say or add to what Mox said. He didn't need to run him down for any reason. Like, there was just, he wanted to, you know, Mox came out, you know, he was full of piss and vinegar. He said, dropped the F-bomb on air, wanted a fan, get kicked out, and, I mean, whatever. It just is what it is. The fan got to stay in, and Billy Ray just needs to shut the hell up. There was nothing he needed to add at all to the situation. There's nothing he brought to the situation.
Kerry, to piggyback on Matt's point, you have Devon Dudley, who works in the WWE as a producer, is widely beloved by everyone. Even New Jack, who he had beef with before his time came, they actually, like, got it together. New Jack saw the light, which is weird. How is Bully Ray just despised? Like, why does he act like he's just the wrestling gatekeeper?
Because he doesn't know when to shut the hell up. He's full of himself. I mean, are the Dudleys one of the greatest tag teams ever wrestled? Yes. You know, I'm a fan. And to just see him just run his mouth like that, I mean, I think it left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. I mean, including Disco Inferno, or as I like to refer to him, Fozzie Bear. A lot of waka 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 from him. I mean, it was nobody had his back. That's how loved Jon Moxley's character is, and how he came across in that promo. You know, I mean, when he's found a way to piss everybody off. He tapped into whatever Jim Cornette's got. Jim Cornette finds a way to piss everybody off, but I think Bully Ray did exactly that. And I mean, as far as what he said, that he feels like Moxley owes any, no, Moxley has probably apologized to the people that deserve it the most, his wife and his child. Yep. You know, he doesn't owe us anything. I mean, he gives us 100%. Anytime you see him, whether you like him or you don't, he's always given 100%, period.
Now, it sits to reason that Bully Ray, Bubba Ray Dudley, wants in the worst way to be on the management side. He had his shot in ROH, and, well, ROH isn't going to do weekly TV anymore. He helped to run that company into the ground. You know, they have Sinclair Broadcasting Cash. Now, Matt, we need to talk about a guy that I think the three of us can agree on has been entertaining over his career. Leo Rush's contract with AEW is going to elapse in, I think, mid-February.
Mm-hmm.
Two questions. Did they misuse him? And two, how are they going to let him walk when they have so many under-talented people on the roster?
Has he been under? Yeah. I mean, Leo Rush, for all of his faults, like, he is one of the most entertaining of the high-flying, quick moving, just, I mean, he does it well. I mean, he does his shtick very well. He's always moving quick. It's fun to watch him wrestle. He's believable as the little guy. He's very talented. So yeah, in that regard, I'd say he's been misused because, I mean, they just didn't do a whole lot with him. To let him walk, I mean, listen, AEW is starting to get to that point where if you're not going to use people, it sounds like they're not going to re-sign him. You know, I mean, Peter Avalon, I mean, he's probably the number one jobber in AEW. He's not re-signed. He's gone. I mean, I'm not trying to put Leo Rush in his category, but if you're not going to do anything with him and you just, yeah, they don't need to be under contract, then hopefully he finds something to do in another promotion. I feel bad for him because I really enjoy watching Leo Rush wrestle. So hopefully he finds something to do.
Now, Kerry, when you look at Leo Rush and you look at, say, Brandon Cutler, one of these people can wrestle, and one of these people is friends with an EVP who has stayed on TV his entire run. Even though he's a flunky and usually eats the pen, he takes home a steady paycheck. When does the nepotism stop?
It just speaks to the larger problem in AEW. They have very talented people, but there's not enough TV time. There's not enough there. I mean, yeah, just you're sticking people on dark and dark elevation, but for what? I mean, it's like I've talked about before. I could see dark or dark elevation being, you know, some type of NXT type thing, like a, you know, like a minor leagues for them. But it's like the booking is just so bad. It's like you've got, and they've got the bloat. We've talked about the bloated roster. We've talked about too many people. I mean, if letting people go is what they need to do, then I mean, it definitely needs to happen. But why somebody like him? I mean, like you said, Cutler. It's like I said, it's part of a bigger problem with the factions and the friends and the buddies and the buddy system. And I don't think it's doing AEW any favors at all.
So, just one thing. It's interesting to me, like, we always say, like, it seems like they got too many wrestlers on FTV time. Like, I mean, Dark doesn't really have a time limit. Cripes, they run anywhere between 10 to 15 matches a show nowadays. Like, they could use all of these people.
They could.
I think they're just
choosing to do it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, why do Hangman Page should never be Dark or Elevation, and here he is running a six-man tag like 2 weeks ago. They can, and then you put someone like, what was it, Sky Blue against Serena Deeb 2 weeks ago. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, Serena Deeb needs somebody legit to wrestle. Like, they're just misusing people and just doing weird stuff constantly, and it's annoying.
If I'm Tony Khan and you have that roster, you know what? TBS or TNT will give you another hour. Move a Rampage in direct competition with SmackDown. And put the rest of your roster, the people who don't get much TV airtime, put some of them on it. Give them compelling stories and go head-to-head. What do you got to lose? You're developing future champions.
I mean, even if they just went up against the second hour of SmackDown, you know, just overlapped for an hour, they'd be better. No, you just nailed it there, Terry. I mean, they just, I don't know. Dark and Elevation, they don't do a lot for me. I think I've watched a few times. You know, Marina Shafir, I watched her, and I think Chris Statlander a number of weeks ago. I was pretty into that. I watched a few Jade Cargill matches. I've tuned in for it before, but I mean, they just – I get it. During the pandemic, Tony basically just said, you show up, you're in the audience, I'll let you wrestle. That's kind of how Dark has evolved here. But, man alive, like, you're not doing anything of meaning with hours that you are putting out there for the public to watch, whether it's on TV or on YouTube.
Now, for me – it is stunning because they have the resources. They have the ability to turn AEW. I know that in their minds they're not really a competition, but they could. Considering with better storylines, have an actual booker, people think that anybody who criticizes AEW is a hater, Kerry. They're not hating, Kerry. It's more of like, we want them to be better. Why can't some people take wrestling critiques as constructive?
Because people get in their feelings. They get, you know, they're loyal. They've been loyal to WWE or loyal to, you know, Impact or loyal to whatever and they see somebody come along, you know, the way Tony Khan is doing it. I think it kind of pisses people off to see Tony Khan do some of the stuff that he does. And I think that's why the ire towards AEW is so strong. It's because, dude, what are you doing? I think for a lot of people that they feel like AEW is making a mockery of things. And in a lot of ways, they are. They're not. Why not, if you have the money, get the people that you need to put your brand in the right direction? You look at all the people you have on your roster right now. You have Arn Anderson. You have Tully Blanchard. You have people that have been in the wrestling business longer than some of the wrestlers have been alive. You know, like, why can't you take some of their knowledge and some of their, you know, their expertise and put it to use? And I mean, honestly, that's what I feel like the biggest problem with AEW is for a lot of people. It's just Tony Khan is just flashing his money and not knowing what I just saw there's an indie wrestler named Effie, and he called Billy Corgan a dweeb. He referred to Billy Corgan as a dweeb, saying that he doesn't. He said, dude, you haven't been cool since the Rat in a Cage song. And I think it's that type of thing is going with Tony Khan. Like, who are you to say that you're the owner, part owner of a football team? What could you possibly know about wrestling? So I feel like that's part of why people's anger is so fierce, is because he's just kind of thumbing his nose at people and at Vince and at wrestling that people have grown accustomed to. He's just doing the exact opposite, and I think it's pissing him off.
Tony Khan is – people want AWB because as a interested, fully formed competition, because then that will force the WWE to raise their game, better stories, better in-ring. They want this. Like, the WWE, the worst thing that happened in wrestling was the folding of WCW. Mm-hmm. And for that 10 minutes, TNA was right there for like, oh, and they eventually TNA'd and peed the bed. Now, when we come back, we have to move from the greatness of the Moxley promo to one of the worst promos I've heard in a very long time.
Oh, Terry.
That is as we return. You're listening to the Hot Tag Podcast on the FBC Radio Network. We are back with the Hot Tag Podcast. Kerry, Matt, and Terry. Kerry, the Cody Rhodes promo. You know what it was like? It was like if somebody sat in front of their computer, went to Wikipedia, typed in wrestling glossary terms, and just started using terms and sentences. Cody Rhodes is on record as saying to multiple sources that he workshops his promos where he will rehearse it and go over it with many people. This was the final product. Make it make sense.
I wish I could. I mean, coming from, you know, the son of somebody that brought us hard times, you would think he's got inside info on, you know what I mean? Like, look, I don't like Conan, but I think Conan nailed it. He said basically that the problem with Cody was he saw it when he referenced the pipe bomb. You go back and watch the pipe bomb. And this was nothing like that. He was like, mm-hmm. Oh, watch, I'm going to turn the crowd. And no, I don't know what the hell he was thinking. It was absolute garbage. He said the reason he hasn't turned heel is because they cheered him when he needed it the most. Like, you tried to be a nice guy. You tried to open the forbidden doors. I tried this, but you turned your back on me, so F you. I mean, a heel turn, I think, could really save Cody at this point. But, man, it's got to be done better. It can't go like that again. That was bad.
Matt, I know that, you know, I have a reputation of being a bit of a Cody Rhodes detractor.
Just a bit.
Am I wrong where this promo, it seemed like he was just trying to be a little too inside, a little too
yep.
Boys Club.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I'm probably on record of maybe defending Cody a little too much here. This promo, listen, this was an awesome promo. If you read everything Dave Meltzer has out there, if you're reading, you know, anything you can out online, if you're following stuff all over social media, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, if you're on every type of anywhere you can get wrestling information 24/7, this was the promo for you. Unfortunately, of the million people that tune in to AEW, I'd have to venture to say 70% of it just went over most people's heads. They had no idea what the hell he was talking about for 5 minutes. So it definitely was not a promo for everyone. Now, again, if you're inside the ropes, you're following all this stuff, I'm sure this was just the promo of a lifetime for you, because he got in some real zingers, talking contract below the belt here a little bit, and just, he's not speaking to a mainstream audience. I think that's kind of a problem with AEW in general. That wasn't something you could follow along with if you're just tuning in every week, and you tune in for 2 hours a week, and you don't follow wrestling the rest of the week.
I think we all felt like JR, because JR said he doesn't always understand what Cody is doing. Yeah, neither do we. Like, does anybody who's not a smart understand 75% of what he said?
No.
I watch wrestling 3-4 times a week, and I had to go back. I had to go and, like, watch it a couple times, look up, okay, this is what he's talking about here. it was full of all sorts of fun stuff like that. Like, at least CM Punk's pipe bomb, like, he just spoke truth out there. It was stuff that pretty much everybody there kind of knew about and, you know, was very direct about things and people kissing ass and this and that. I mean,
like,
Cody just took a bunch of underhanded shots that no one understood.
He did what Punk dreamed of? Like, are you kidding me, dude?
Oh.
And CM Punk is on your show, dude. I guess if he was really trying to do a heel turn, that's the way to do it, is to crap on one of the guys that gets the biggest pops out of any of your freaking wrestlers. Like, okay, dude, whatever.
Hey, Kerry, quick question for you here. Is Cody Rhodes a heel right now? Because honestly, if this is kind of an interesting thing, and I think he is a heel right now, and he's just kind of toeing the fence here of this face stuff just to annoy people. I think he's actually a heel, and it's actually kind of a brilliant character if he plays this out for the long game.
He's been getting booed for a couple of months now, so I mean, it's hard to say, because I think we've kind of been, I don't know, not cheated, but I think the way that a lot of our, like, my favorite wrestlers were intended to be heels, and it didn't turn out that way. I mean, they did heel behaviors, but still got treated like faces. Undertaker, Steve Austin, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I really think that's what it is. He's a heel, but he's not over as a heel. He's just, like you said, kind of toe in the fist. I mean, I really want him to come out there and, you know, hit Darby Allin upside the head with a skateboard, or, you know, do something to make us really care about what you're doing. Anything,
yeah, so
whatever you
remember
to
when I think that moment was kind of when he beat Sammy on Rampage, and then they had that over the top celebration in the ring. I feel like that was kind of the turning point where he just was like, hell with it, we're going to be a heel. Cause I mean, nobody was into that celebration, and he had like 4 people in the ring. I mean, you know, Crockett's out there handing him a belt, presenting him a belt. It just, I feel like that was kind
weird.
Of the very subtle heel turn that was just so over the top. That was kind of it, because now he's always referencing not turning heel. It's like, it's actually kind of a fun character he's in right now. I've actually enjoyed this a little bit more than I thought I was going to. So I agree
with that. But just sometimes when the promos that he does, I think they run on a little bit. Maybe if he would do a little shorter, maybe do him a little more concentrated instead of dress, because he has to have his little entrance. He has to have this, it's music and this. I mean, if he would just, like, you know, do some more. I really wish AEW would do some more backstage stuff that actually meant something. Like, how many really good promos did The Rock cut backstage? Like, how many really good ones? I wish they would do more of that. That's the kind of stuff that AEW needs to do to turn it around. Do things that we, that as wrestling fans, that we all gravitate to and that we all like. And Cody being a heel, it could work, but I don't feel like they're doing it the right way.
Now, for me, it's more of like, if this is a heel turn, fine. Just as long as no Brandy. She doesn't need to be on TV.
No. Amen.
I mean, it is...
It's coming, Terry. you know these people. You've seen them long enough. That is coming.
It is. I mean, she is the absolute just. She's the guy from, what was it, a Family Guy, the guy with the upper bite, the real long, elongated mouth, Buzz Killington. That's who Brandi Rose is. She, whenever something hot going on, like Jade Cargill, she had it going there, and, you know, and with Dan Lambert, like, really? Like, this is what's supposed to be good? Now, one of the things that we need to kind of talk of, kind of spinning off the Cody thing, is wrestlers working the fans via social media. How do we take these wrestlers seriously when they go between, this is my job, and this is who I am, and then they try to blur the lines? Matt, how do you see that when you see a wrestler trying to work people?
Honestly, there is one person that I can think of offhand that really has kind of mastered this and is really good at it, and that's Bayley. Like, she is
Bayley.
She is excellent, though, at, like, you know, making you believe in her character on social media. She plays along with it. I really like Bayley. Maybe that's the only one that I hate it. I really do. And maybe this is just wrestling nowadays, and most people, you know, understand that wrestling is it's not fake. It's you know, it's a predetermined outcome. So, I mean, I think that probably plays into why these people, you know, why these athletes are going out there and just kind of, you know, in the words of Jim Cornette, shitting all over the business. But, you know, I think it's just how it is today. I think most fans understand it. So, but, yeah, there's very few, though, that do this well, that still kind of protect, you know, wrestling and the little bit of kayfabe that still existed. There's not many of them, but
now,
we could use more.
Terry, when you look at a wrestler who will interact with fans and then you will see the wrestler eventually call the fan a mark, does that change your perception of the wrestler?
No, because usually he's telling the truth.
Hmm.
You know, if it's somebody like MJF doing it, and I mean, MJF is he's really, really, as like you were saying about Bayley, Matt, I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing. He is pushing people's buttons. He's pissing them off. He's doing all the classic chicken heel stuff. I mean, I've had several interactions with wrestlers. My favorite one being when the time that Mick Foley followed me on Twitter, which was pretty cool. So it's like, I get what they're trying to do. At wrestling these days, you've never been closer to the wrestlers. You've never been more, you know, have that type of access to them that we have now with social media. And I mean, there are some people that, you know, I mean, Sammy's one of them. Sammy's great with social media. He's doing his blog and stuff like that. And like I said, the BTE even. I mean, that's it's the Bucks, but you know what?
Yeah.
There are parts of the Bucks that I like, and that's one thing. They can do the comedy. They can do that. I feel like social media has allowed some wrestlers just to kind of open up a little bit and just to show a little more of themselves. And I mean, like, you know, definitely, you know, you got your MJS, you got the people that want to, and then you have somebody like Mick Foley, who's constantly he's always, you know, interacting with his fans, and it's usually positive.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, there are definitely those guys that can do it, and there's some that probably just don't need to, just don't even mess with social media, just leave it alone.
But then you got wrestlers like, I don't know, just who really haven't made it yet. I'm going to use the Bunny, for example, or the Butcher of the Blade, somebody of that group, calling the fans marks. I'm like, yes, there are fans who take it a little markish, but if you're going to call a fan a mark, and then in the next sentence you're posing a picture with you and the people you just had this match with at TGI Fridays, the going back and forth, like either be totally in character, like a Bailey, like sell it, or let it be. That's the part that is always I found weird. Now, when we step back in for a break, we need to definitely hop in the Royal Rumble prediction area. You are listening to the Hot Tag Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Hot Tag Podcast. Carrie, Matt, and Terry. Carrie, how do you first question the Royal Rumble? Who are the last two and who wins for the men's? As we wait for Carrie, Matt, while we're waiting for Carrie, who do you see stepping in?
Oh, boy. Carrie, this is such a mess. It really is. There's a lot going on here. Boy. I don't know. I mean, could we see a Goldberg possibly return and be the last guy? And just because I think he still has one more match on his contract. Could that just be it? And we retire him at WrestleMania? I don't know. The men's picture is so muddy that nothing will make sense regardless of who wins this, especially based on the matches that they have going on at the Royal Rumble. So Terry, I don't know. You know, what I'm looking for is I hope that they're just good, entertaining matches and we get some good surprises. That's really all I'm looking for out of these matches.
They're going to do something ridiculous with Johnny Knoxville. It's going to be something absolutely ridiculous.
He's going to eliminate
I don't. Yeah, it's going to be something on those. It's going to be like that. It's going to be insane. As far as who wins this, I mean, it would be a real quick way to get Big E back in the picture. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's like you said, the men, it's so muddy right now. Like anything could happen, and I think I'd be okay with whatever does happen.
That's exactly it, Carrie. I mean, who would make sense right now? They haven't really. I mean, maybe. I have no idea. I truly couldn't tell you what's going to happen. I guess I'm just looking for a good rumble.
Vince could totally shock us and have Austin Theory win it.
Oh.
You know what I mean? That's I'm sorry, but I don't think Vince has any business being on TV. Just no. I think I heard somebody say something that Vince doesn't like mirrors, and I'm like, he really wouldn't like them now. Because I'm
looks
sorry,
like a
the man
deflated
is
balloon.
He's scary looking, and I'm telling you, the art that Jim Cornette has on his YouTube, it's so dead on. It's frightening. I can't even look. If Vince is on the screen, I can't look at it. I just can't do it.
I think with Vince, it's more of a matter of he's in his mid to late 70s now. The working out is not as hard, and the supplements aren't as abundant for him. And he really should be on TV anymore. Like, his voice is going because I think his voice is going because of the screaming and, you know, his mic style and his interviewing style. When he became Mr. McMahon, his voice became gravelly and evil. And it's they don't need an authority figure on the show. Like, we're past that now.
Yep.
Carrie, how do you see the Royal Rumble going for the women, and who wins it?
That's honestly, that's another hot mess. I mean, they've got so many like legends in there. It's like you can't really take anything seriously. I mean, with Charlotte being in it, I really think it's gonna go like that. It's gonna be to where she chooses somebody. That's where they're going with that. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I'm not really happy with that. I mean, I can tolerate Charlotte when she's a face, but I can't stand her as a heel. It's entirely unbelievable to me. It's just not happening. Like I said, these legends. I mean, it's kind of cool seeing Lita make a little comeback. I like that. But as far as that, it's probably going to be Charlotte.
I think it's going to be Ronda Rousey.
Cool. All right. Is Bayley set to come back? Because I don't know. She's just one of my favorites.
Anytime now. Like, I think, because she's been going almost a year, right?
Correct.
I think, it might be that time. I think Ronda Rousey is going to be a surprise entry and she wins. And then she goes on and she faces, honestly, Becky Lynch or Charlotte. Becky Lynch.
Because it would be a surprise for sure.
But this is the one where Ronda gets to be the face.
Oh, yeah, I'm for it. That sounds great.
And this is where Ronda gets her WrestleMania moment of she was so upset when the fans turn on her. She was, like, literally upset. She gets to stand on the second or top rope and have the belt overhead. Ronda Rousey will be the one who ends Becky Lynch's title reign. Does she come back full time? No, because she'll probably drop it the next night.
Right.
But for that moment, plus it's a 2-night thing. Now,
If I have one thing here. If I have just one thing I want to see in this, for the love of God, just make Mickie James look good. just don't have her go out there and get eliminated in 30 seconds. Just I truly fear this so much, and I just want her to look strong, maybe even get her down to the final four. She deserves it, for the love of God. She's been around forever in WWE. She's really one of the early pioneers of the division when it became wrestling-centric. Like, just let her please have a good Rumble.
I always find it funny that Mickie James is in the Rumble carrying Nick Aldis, her husband, is nowhere near. He can't catch a signing. No one will touch this guy.
No.
He is, surprisingly enough, right before we started this, Marcus was listening to the Conan podcast. What is it? Cable 100? And Nick Aldis has been on there several weeks in a row. So I'm like, what, huh? I mean, I don't know. That Effie guy might be onto something that Billy Corgan might not know what the hell he's doing. I mean, and Nick, I like Nick Aldis. I thought in the pre-pandemic NWA stuff, he was great.
But,
so I mean, who knows?
But he's as dry as pumpernickel toast.
He's definitely got the Lance. He's got Lance Storm-itis. He's definitely got the wrestling chops and Aldis reminds me of Wade Barrett. That's who he reminds me of. That just kind of dry, kind of, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I liked it with Wade Barrett, though. But, I mean, he just needs a little more something. I don't know what he's missing. He's just a little too bleh.
I think he'd be a really – he's really good for a – YouTube style production. Like, just, you know, if for the hardcore wrestling fans out there, he's a good wrestler. Just he can do that.
Yeah.
If you're looking for someone that's gonna pop on TV, probably not your guy.
No.
I mean, it is difficult. It is difficult to see Nick Aldis kind of being in a major fight. Plus he's close to 40, and it's, unless you're AJ Styles, who was there at like 37, 38, and phenomenal.
Or unless you're Randy Orton. Guys, I'm going to say it. I was never a fan of his, like, you know, during the Evolution days and all that stuff. But here in the last, like, 2 or 3 months, I really get the Randy Orton hype now, because he's fun to watch in the ring. He's seasoned. He knows what he's doing. He's making everybody look good. I'm on the Randy Orton train right now.
I'm a big Randy Orton fan when he's a face. For whatever reason, you know, his heel stuff, I don't mind it. You know, but I really think when he's a face, he's at his best. He's a lot of fun to watch.
RK-Bro has done a lot for him. I really think so, because there's a whole generation of people of wrestling fans that don't really know Randy Orton as we knew him. Like, you know, the guy who self-admittedly, you know, was an ass, you know, most of his career. But, I mean, yeah, I'm on the Randy Orton train right now.
I mean, it is watching Randy Orton at this stage, like 20 years in, kind of being beloved, like being the cantankerous veteran, being beloved by fans because he's legit funny. Like, you can see his,
yep.
from what people say, this is his off-air personality.
Yep.
This has been a phenomenal episode. We have had a good time. It was good getting the band back together. We will see you next week, Matt Carey. Always, thank you. This has been another episode of the Hot Tag Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.